Thank you all for coming out if you're here in person, and thank you for tuning in if you're watching online, and welcome to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. If this is your first time watching or your first time here, my name is Wade, and I'm glad you're here. Let me go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer, and we'll get into tonight's message. Father, thank you for the message that you've laid on my heart. I just thank you, Lord, for what you've been doing here in the last couple of weeks. I can just feel you waking us up, God, and speaking to our hearts. And I just thank you for the message you gave me tonight. I pray that you'd open every heart and every mind, Lord, to receive it. And Lord, I just pray that you'd give us the courage to be obedient to it. And we'll give you the glory for it. Lord, I just pray that everything that's said tonight is from you. I just pray that you'd move me aside and all my opinions and my beliefs, Lord. But I just pray that your truth would be shared tonight. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, I told you last week that, you know, I was working on a message about Joab. I don't know when we'll get to that, but I'm not doing that tonight either. You know, the last couple of weeks, or 3 weeks ago, we started talking about, you know, sharing our faith and being a witness for Christ. And last week, you know, we mainly focused on our own personal relationship with Jesus. And the verse that we closed with last week, you know, kind of like a homework verse, was 2 Corinthians 13:5. You know, that's where Paul tells us to examine ourselves, you know, whether we be in the faith, to prove our own selves. It says, know ye not your own selves, how that Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. And I think God wanted me to come back and just revisit this again. You know, a lot of times we'll read over that, especially if you're a new believer. You know, you just read right over that and except you be reprobate. So that word reprobate, I want to tell you what that means. You know, that's a pretty important word. That's not one that we should just read over and move on to the next verse. That should really get our attention. And I wanted to explain what that word means and how important it is. That word reprobate, you know, I looked it up in the Strong Concordance. It means that you're unapproved or, and rejected and cast away. So if we, you know, throw that in there, it says, except you be unapproved or rejected or cast away. And that's pretty important, you know, when we're talking about our faith. And I tell you all the time, the verse that I never want to hear is, depart from me, I never knew you. So that's what I want to focus on and talk about tonight, because I don't want any of you to hear that either. And I believe the church as a whole, not just here at Grace, but the worldwide church, I think it's full of people who come to church, they go to classes and all these things, and they think they're okay. And when the truth is, they're not, because they don't know the truth. You know, nobody hasn't told them that you're not okay. These things that you're doing, the lifestyle that you're living, is not okay. And, you know, that's what I want to talk about tonight, is what the world says is okay and what God's Word says is okay is completely different things. And you can go to a lot of churches around the world, and they'll tell you, no matter what lifestyle you're living, you're okay. You know, God loves everybody, and he does love everybody. But I would rather make you mad and tell you the truth that leads you to life than not say anything unless you think you're okay. You know, I'd rather tell you the truth and take the risk of offending you than I would, you know, I'd rather do that than watch you slip off into eternity without God. You know, I told you last week, I've been working on a message about Joab, but I don't know when we'll get to that. You know, even if we never get to that, I want to share with you what God laid on my heart. And these are important things. In Matthew chapter 7, in verses 21 through 23, this is Jesus saying, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You know, verse 22 says they were busy doing the work of God. You know, we see that in churches all over the world. He said, many will say to me in that day, you know, we've prophesied in your name, and we've cast out devils in your name. We've done all kinds of wonderful things in your name. But, you know, what about your own personal life? You know, his name still has power, even if you're not surrendered to him. You know, I'll share a verse with you after a while that says the demons believe, but they're not. You know, that don't change who God is. It's not just enough to be around when God is moving and doing mighty things around us. You know, we can get tricked into, if we're involved in a, you know, an activity at church, and we can see God moving and doing mighty things. But what is he doing in you? You know, you can be in church your whole life and witness all these things that God is doing, but you'll never experience those things yourself and in your own life until you truly surrender your own will for his and receive the Holy Spirit. You know, we share this verse almost every week here lately in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 17. We become a new creature in Christ. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You know, if you're coming to church and then just going back home and shutting the door and nothing's changed, then you haven't truly surrendered to the Holy Spirit. So all I want to focus on tonight is just believing . You know, a lot of people say they believe in Jesus, but they're not surrendered to Jesus. There is a difference. You know, I close every week almost with Romans 10 and 9 and 10 and try to, you know, give people a chance to give their heart to the Lord if they haven't never done that. But I want to go into a little more detail with it tonight and actually explain it a little better. You know, I never want to close a service and not give people a chance to surrender their life to Christ. But the word believe, you know, if we'll read through that first. It says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that word believe, that means way more than just believing that God exists, like I said a minute ago. It means more than just believing that Jesus died for me. I looked up the definition for that too. And the word believe means to fully commit my trust to him, to fully put my faith in what Jesus did on the cross for me. And if we read those verses that way, it means I fully commit my heart to God and I fully surrender my control to his. You know, if we say, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and fully commit your heart to God and believe that Christ died for your sins on the cross, then you shall be saved. If we go on to verse 10, it says, if we use it with that definition in there too, it says, since I totally commit my heart or my life to you, I will confess with my mouth that I'm dying to myself and I'm declaring you the Lord of my life, my heart, everything I am. And I receive your Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me from now on. You know, then it becomes an action. You know, I no longer live by my own understanding, but by obedience to God's word. And even after we come to Christ, you know, it's a daily choice to follow him. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. They think they can get up there and repeat a prayer and then they're saved, and that's all there is to it. And it goes way beyond that. It's a daily choice. We have to die to ourselves every day. Jesus says that. If we look in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, nowadays we've got a different idea of the cross than what the cross meant during that time. You know, we make jewelry out of it. We make pictures out of it and hang it all over the place. But the cross is where you took something then to put it to death. So taking up our cross daily means to put to death our own desires daily and choose today your will, not mine. And live in obedience to him daily. That's what the cross is for. It's a place for things to be put to death. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, pick up your cross daily. He meant for us to die to our own selfish desires daily and declare him Lord of our life daily, every day. And follow me or be obedient to me, he said. And I don't never want you to take my word for it. So you can see that in the very next verse. It says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So Jesus wants us to die to ourselves daily. We have to die to our old selves, to our old lives, in order to follow Christ. And that means making the changes in our lives God says to make so that we can be obedient to him. And there's a couple of lists in Scripture that I'm going to share with you in a little while. But one of the biggest problems we see, especially in recovery, you know, we'll see, I mostly deal with guys because, you know, I'm a guy and we deal with the male part of recovery. But just about, and it's not just in recovery, we see it in church too. When somebody really wants help and they really want a new life, but they're in a relationship, you know, they're not married, the world calls it shacking up or just living together or whatever the case may be. And they're wanting God's help. They're wanting God to bless them and help them with all the troubles in their life. And God wants to help you, but he can't, you know, God's not going to bless you living in a way that's not a godly lifestyle. He can't bless that. So we see that all the time in recovery, and, you know, we see it in the church too. Like I said, people want a new life and they want help, but they're living a lifestyle that they're not willing to give up. And I try to tell them all the time, God's not asking you to give up anything. He just wants you to do it his way. You know, when I bring that up to a guy that, you know, if you're not married, you need to get married. Nobody said get rid of them. You know, if both of you commit your lives to the Lord and get married, then that'll lead you both closer to the Lord. And everybody seems to think when you bring that up, that means you all shouldn't be together, or you shouldn't. That's not what it means at all. All God is saying is he wants us to do things his way so he can bless it. And that's, you know, I'm not just trying to pick on them. That could be any kind of lifestyle. You could have a problem with gossiping about people. You could have just all different kinds of problems. But God just wants us to do life his way. It's not God. Not that God don't want to bless you, but he can't bless us if we're living in disobedience, and he can't bless us for living in sin. You know, I know that firsthand. I tried that for years. And the way I tried to handle that is I'd try to serve here. I'd try to do this over here, you know, go to classes, read all kinds of books, everything I could do to keep myself busy just to take the focus off of this thing in my life that I wasn't really, you know, ready to get rid of. And I was hoping that if I do all this, if I just put in enough effort, that God's going to just overlook that area of my life. But God can't do that. You know, God's word don't change. It says what it says. And God don't change either. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 13, it says, and we'll go back to that word believe, you know, it says, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. So let's read it with that definition. Even when we're not totally committed, he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. God don't change. God never changes. So we are going to be the one that has to change if something has to change. says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Another example of that is in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." God never changes. So, like I said, we are the ones that have to surrender to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to change us. That's why so many of us are not experiencing the power of God in our lives. You know, we're not willing to change. We're not ready to fully commit our hearts and our lives to the Lord. And when I say that, I'm not talking about our public lives that everybody sees. I'm talking about our true lives. What is in our hearts? You know, that's our true life. Proverbs says, as a man is in his heart, believes in his heart, so is he. So God don't want us to change actions. When we change what's in our heart, that'll change our actions. I'm talking about what's inside of us, the stuff that nobody knows about but you and God. You know, I told the guys last night at CR that I used to go through all the motions, go to the meetings and do all the right stuff, say all the right things. But inside, in my mind, you know, I couldn't wait to just go home, get home, shut the door so I could take a breath and relax and just be who I really was. You know, I wasn't being real. I was being fake. I was just putting on a show. And it wasn't real. And that was wearing me out. You know, that's a lot of work trying to, act like something that you're not. And that's not a good place to be. But when I finally made that decision in my heart that I don't want to just look well, you know, I don't want to put on a show anymore. I don't want to just get up every day and put on spiritual makeup that I have to put on every day. I really want to get well, and I really wanted to be made whole. You know, when I made that decision in my heart, I came to Jesus in a whole different way. I didn't come to Him, you know, asking Him for relief from the mess that I made in my life. And I wasn't coming to Him to just ask forgiveness again for the same thing over and over and over. I did that for years, and that gets us nowhere. But when I came to Him that time, I told Him, "I'm tired of doing that. This time I really do want to get well. I do want a new life." You know, I told Him, "I want to be made new, and I'm willing to change whatever you tell me to. I'm willing to give up anything you tell me to. You know, I'm surrendering my life to you. Please come into my heart and be my Lord and give me your Holy Spirit to guide me, because I don't know what to do." And I didn't. And I think a lot of us come to that point and we don't know what to do. Or a lot of you are like I was. And there's still that one area of your life you're trying to hang on to, and you're wondering why you can't go any farther. You know, getting busy don't change your life. Fully surrendering to Jesus will change your life. You know, if you've got that one thing that you're holding back and you don't want anybody to know about it, or you're not ready to change it, then you'll be stuck right there until you bring it to God and you really do want to be made well. Some of y'all remember the message we did just a few weeks ago, or it may have been a couple of months ago now, about the guy in John chapter 5 at the well. You know, that's what Jesus asked him. He knew he'd been in that condition a long time. So He asked him, you know, "Do you want to be made whole?" And until I actually did want to be made whole and didn't just want to appear like I did, then nothing changes. We got to really want to be better, be willing to change. And like I told you a while ago, we can't look to the world to tell us what's right and what's wrong. This world is evil. You know, it don't matter what you're doing. Somebody in the world is going to tell you it's okay, and they'll pat you on the back and tell you you're fine. You don't need to change anything. And, you know, we can't just go with the crowd. I'm sure you've all heard there's strength in numbers, but that don't make what they're doing right. You know, it was the crowd that crucified Jesus. it was a crowd that they were the ones that were yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." And I often wonder how many people in that crowd did he heal. But, you know, if we go along with the crowd, usually you're going the wrong way. I like what it says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 5. God's word says that everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. And though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. If you'll notice, most of the crowds that are causing a ruckus is because they're proud of their sin. And they want somebody else to join in there with them so they're not standing by themselves. But the Bible says, even though they join their hands together as a group, they're not going to go unpunished. And just because a crowd gathers together and joins hands and says, you know, we have this right, that don't change what God's word says. It don't make it right. You know, the world allows, you know, gay people to hold festivals right here in Knoxville and all kinds of things. They seem to have more legal rights than anybody else I can think of. You know, the Methodist Church, they now allow openly gay pastors to pastor churches. They perform gay marriages. You know, they met, they joined hands, they voted on it, and they said to themselves, it's okay. And the whole church accepted that. You know, did that change God's word? No, it didn't change God's word at all. God's word never changes. So we can't look to the world for advice. We can't look to the world for direction. We have to look to God's word, and we got to establish in our hearts that that's the truth. You know, the world's not truth. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. You know, God's word has to be the standard in our lives. Just a few years ago, you know, on my dad's side of the family, a lot of them made moonshine, ran moonshine. And that was illegal. They put you in prison for that. Now, since they make so much money on it, they legalized it. It's a $1 billion industry. That makes me feel sorry for all the people that lost everything they had years ago because they put them in prison for doing that. And now, people are getting rich off of it. Same thing with drugs. A lot of them now, they just legalize, like marijuana. It's a $1 billion industry. You know, we can't look to the world about what's right and wrong. The world is constantly changing. I mean, look how much damage pornography does to families. And it's legal. It's completely legal in the world's eyes. The country is just covered over with liquor stores everywhere you go. Even the areas that not too long ago at all were dry counties, they're full of liquor stores now because that's another $1 billion industry. The world don't care about right and wrong. They care about money. So the world's constantly changing, and not for the better. We've got to look. We've got to look to God's word for truth. And we can't be like the world and join hand in hand with them and expect God to be okay with that. You know, if we want God in our lives, we have to change to be what he says to be, not what the world says to be. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with this verse, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Or I gave you the wrong one, Travis. I meant Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Sorry about that. But in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I think we've heard that verse so many times we've become numb to it. You know, if you've been in church for a while, most people can quote that verse. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed. But we become so numb to it, without even knowing it, we do conform to the world. The things that the world says is okay, the longer we're exposed to it, the more we allow it. until it gets to where it's not even offensive to us anymore. That's just the way things are. You know, that, I hear that more than I'd like to admit. I hear that. But that's not just the way things are. You know, God's word is the way things are. So I don't want us to just be familiar with that verse. I want us to apply it to our lives. You know, I told you earlier that that word, believe, means to be totally committed to Christ and not just admit that he's real. And here's the verse I was telling you about earlier in James chapter 2, in verse 19. It says that the devils believe too and tremble, but they're not totally committed to Christ. And I also told you earlier that word reprobate means to be unapproved and rejected and cast away. I don't want any of you to be unapproved or rejected or cast away. And I definitely don't want any of you to hear depart from me. I never knew you, you know, like we read earlier. So I want to share some scripture with you tonight. And if you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write these down. You know, I told you a while ago that my goal is not to make you mad. It's not to condemn you at all. My goal is for you to know the truth, and then you can decide for yourself. Like, you know, we started out with in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself, like Paul said, so we don't have to be cast away. We don't have to be unapproved. We don't have to be rejected. We can take these lists that Paul wrote down for us and examine ourselves, like he says, and line these up with our life. If these things are in my life, then I need to do something about them so I don't wind up being rejected. But you can decide that for yourself. Here's the first list I want to share with you. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it's verses 9 through 10. It says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, and be not deceived. You know, God's word is full of places like that where it says, don't deceive yourselves. You know, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Don't take the word of God's, or the word of God in vain. You know, actually understand what it says and apply it to your life. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And, you know, those things are pretty self-explanatory. But we need to take that list there, write it on a piece of paper, and go through it by yourself. You know, you don't even have to share it with anybody else. You're the only one that knows what's in your heart. You're the only one that knows what is truly in your life, you and God. And if those things are in there, the Bible's very clear. It says you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And none of the things on that list, no matter what they are worth the eternal life that God offers all of us. And, you know, I can't stress to you enough that that is not to condemn you. And the next verse I want to share with you, it proves that. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, and such were some of you. You know, that's talking about me. I know I was all those things before. But in verse 11, it says, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So God don't want to condemn us for those things. He wants us to get those things out of our lives so that we will be approved. You know, God washes us, sanctifies us, and justifies us in the name of the Lord Jesus, like it says right there, and by the Holy Spirit. So all we have to do, if you want a new life, is give God your old one and make the changes that he tells us to make. It really is that simple. But we can't keep the old one. You know, I tried to do that for a long time. You can't mix them. We've got to be willing to give it up. And here's the next list I want to share with you. And I really would encourage you to write these down and truly examine yourself. These things are important. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it says, the works of the flesh are manifest, or evident, you know, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. You know, if you don't understand any of these words, get a dictionary and look them up. You know, I think it's important enough to know I don't want this in my life if it's going to keep me from going into the kingdom of God. And we have to take it in our hearts too, because Jesus said, if you hate your brother in your heart, you are a murderer. So envying, do you envy anybody or anything they have? Or, you know, murder, like we just talked about, or drunkenness. And drunkenness can be, that's not just talking about alcohol. You can be drunk with power. You can be drunk on all kinds of things. It's anything that distorts your mind into any other way of thinking than the way God says you should think. Revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, that's about as plain as it can get. And it says, those who do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But here's what God wants us to produce in the next two verses, verses 22 and 23, is the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I remember when I first came to Christ, I took both of those bad lists and I wrote them down. And, you know, I hate to tell you, but almost all of those were in my life. And then I wrote the fruit of the Spirit list down on the other side, right beside it. And almost none of those were in my life. So I truly had to surrender my life to Christ, and he gave me a new one because I didn't have any of those things. And without Christ, none of us have those things. They're fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So our homework this week is the same verse as it was last week, only this week, you know, you've got some scripture to examine yourself with. 2 Corinthians 13:5 was our verse, if you didn't write it down. And I keep telling you, you know, please do that. I'm not trying to condemn you or make you mad. I just don't want you to think you're okay if you're not. You know, I tell you all the time that I love you guys, and I'd rather tell you something that makes you mad than pat you on the back and tell you you're okay, because I'm too afraid of offending you. I'd rather offend you than let you walk out of here thinking you're fine when you're not. If you would, go back to Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits, in verses 20 and 21. So, you know, what is that? What kind of fruit is my life producing? Is it producing the fruit of the Spirit, or is it producing the stuff on those two bad lists we looked at? So he says, wherefore by their fruits shall you know them. And not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. So our fruit is important. That's Jesus saying that. Those are in red letters. So that, to me, is very important. And like I said, only you know the answers to that stuff. I don't know what's in your heart. You don't know what's in mine. But you can have a talk with God, and he will help you get that stuff out. So in closing, I want to go to Romans 10, 9 through 10 again. And I want you to truly ask yourself, if we read it like we read it earlier, you know, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and totally commit your heart and your life to him, and have faith that he died on the cross for your sins, and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And verse 10, we'll read it the same way. For with totally committing our heart, our will, and our life to Christ, we are made right with God. That's what righteousness is. And with our mouths, we declare him as Lord in our lives, to surrender our will to his, and to honor and obey him from this point on. With our mouths, confession is made unto salvation. That sounds a lot like a marriage, don't it? You know, to honor him and obey him with our lives. But it is a marriage. We are called the bride of Christ. And I think, you know, just like in a regular marriage here on earth, if we're unfaithful to him, the marriage is not going to work out. You know, if somebody else is more important to us than our spouse, then our marriage is going to fail. But we've got to put every day, like we read earlier in Luke 9:23, we have to die to ourselves daily, pick up our cross, and do what it takes to be obedient to Christ today. You know, Jesus said, don't worry about yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. Focus on today. Because tomorrow, there's, you know, it has its troubles of its own. The past we can do nothing about. But there's enough going on in today that we need to keep our attention on being obedient to him today. And I tell you every week too, in Romans 10:13, if you think you're too far gone for God to save you, we're all a whosoever. You know, it don't matter what you've done in your past, how bad your past was. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And I could always tell you too, I don't want you to take my word for it. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, and God don't, I always tell you, he don't do anything unless he's our example first. He says he showed his love towards us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He don't expect us to straighten up on our own. He don't expect us to figure it out. All he wants us to do is surrender to him, and then the Holy Spirit will help you get things straightened out. So, like we read in verse 10 there a minute ago, if today is the day that you are surrendering your life to Christ, tell somebody about it. Confess it with your mouth and let them know that today I'm giving my heart to Jesus. I'm committing my life to him, and I'm going to make him Lord of my life. And with that confession, you will receive salvation. You will be saved. But you got to surrender your life to his. So I pray that you will please take some time this week and truly examine yourself. You know, like I've been saying, don't depend on what the world says is acceptable. This world will accept anything. It don't matter where it is. If you have a problem finding somebody to accept what you're doing, all you got to do is switch crowds. There's a crowd out there somewhere that'll tell you you're fine. So don't depend on what the world has to say, and don't listen to what the crowd is saying. Get in God's word and see what he says, and never think God is going to condemn you. He's not. And, you know, when you bring those things to him and surrender them to him, then the Holy Spirit will show you the next step. He'll show you the right way to go. He won't just leave you hanging. And I want to close with this one verse, and then I hope somebody really gets something out of this message tonight. And like I keep telling you, it don't do us any good just to read this stuff, to read the list, and to have that knowledge. If we don't put it into action, if you recognize something on those lists and it is in your life and you don't do anything about it, then that is just straight up disobedience. And God won't bless that. And I lived like that for a long time, and I wondered why God would not help me. And it wasn't that God wouldn't help me. I wouldn't bow my knee to him. I wouldn't humble myself and make him Lord. I just liked people think that he was my Lord. So I hope that really helps somebody, and I hope it helps you get honest with yourself and with God so that you can move forward. But I want to share this last verse with you, and I'll pray for us and we'll be dismissed. But this verse gave me the courage to really open up to God and be honest with him, because I was always afraid of God judging me for the things that I had done. But this verse gave me courage, and I hope it gives you courage too. In John chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." God didn't come to condemn anybody. He came to save everybody. But it's our choice. We have to surrender it to him. Well, Father, I just thank you for this message. I thank you, Lord, for the giving me the ability to get up here and preach it. And Father, I pray that you'd help people not to close their hearts or their minds to it. I pray that you'd help them to embrace it, Lord. And I pray that you'd give them the courage to admit if there's any of these things on those lists, Lord, in their lives, in their hearts. And I pray that they would find the courage to bring those things to you, Lord, knowing that you're not out to condemn us, that you're out to help us, God, and forgive us and wash us clean of those things and fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can live the lives that you have for us. And God, I just pray that you would be with everybody here, keep them safe as they go home. I pray for all the sick, Lord, that can't be here because they're sick. I pray that you'd meet them right there in their homes, Lord, if they're watching, and comfort them and bring them healing. And Lord, I just pray that you'd just keep us safe as we go home. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for all things. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.